Mercy. Mercy.
Presented by Finley Roofing on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's time for Dukes and Bell's Daily Download.
You've got mail.
All the stories you need to know about the world of Atlanta sports in bite size.
Brought to you by QC Kinetics on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, man, the general manager search continues. Guys that interviewed for the Falcons team president job, which is now, of course, occupied by Matt Ryan, are back for another round of interviews, and we'll see. We talked about Ian Cunningham from the Bears, and we talked about Joe Douglas, who was the Jets GM, and then I was back working with Howie Roseman, the Eagles. As Carl and I said, those would be the guys I'd be looking for. As we mentioned to Bryant McFadden, as far as the NFL coaching carousel, Mike McDaniel is, in fact, interviewing for the Bills head coaching job after already agreeing to take the Chargers OC job. How does that make Harbaugh feel?
Well, look, they had to give him permission. Right, I mean, look, they could have easily said, you've agreed to this, we want you, here's the contract, we're not going to allow you to interview anywhere else. I think they realize he wants to be a head coach. Here's what's even more interesting to me, and this is for all those folks who are fussing about Stefanski and whatnot, and as I've said, I've told you this time and time again, I don't have to defend these guys. Their work will defend themselves. Either we're going to win or we're not, and we're going to win at a high clip, and he's going to turn this into a real contender. But three head coaching candidates have turned the Browns' job down. Why? And I think it just speaks to the dysfunction of what he was dealing with, not just last year, but the 6 years he was there, and it all stems back to the owner saying, hey, we're going to bring in Deshaun Watson. Mike McDaniel told him, no, I'll take my name off the list. Then he goes and takes the Chargers OC job, Mike, and now the Chargers are like, well, if you want to go interview for another head coaching job, go ahead. That doesn't make any sense. When you had a possibility of becoming the Browns coach,
right.
Chris Shula said, fellas, appreciate the time. I'm good.
And who's Chris Shula, with all due respect?
Correct. I mean,
he's still carving out his niche in the coaching world.
Take my name off the list. And yet here he is, and B-Mac just told us he might be the Pittsburgh guy.
You know, Shula, your grandfather played for the Browns.
And then Jesse Minter, who just took the Ravens job, said, peace out, Browns. Why? To me, Mike, that is what I'm curious about. When we start talking about, oh, Stefanski don't know what the hell he's doing, maybe he was, a little caught up in all the other stuff that was happening there. There's no doubt. The offense wasn't what it should have been. I don't disagree with B. Numbers don't lie there. But was it personnel? And we're going to talk to somebody in Cleveland right. coming up. Was it the scheme? Was it the fact that his quarterbacks just sucked? Or was there a lot more to this? Because this is an NFL job that three guys now have said, I'm good.
Right, and for all the guys out there, I said this yesterday to Carl. I mean, Cam Newton, why don't you throw your hat in the ring? Literally, you got hats. Throw one of your hats in the ring. And you go coach Shador, since he's being screwed by the man. Cam Newton, go coach the Browns. Phillip Rivers is interviewing now. He's coached high school team down there in Fairhope, Alabama. But, go coach. Cam, take one of your goofy hats and throw it in the ring, and you go coach and put a staff together. Come on, show us how easy it is to fix. You know what? Oh, Shador's the man. A guy who's a big fan of ours, he grew up in Cleveland, says, Shador's chasing Stefanski out of Cleveland. Nobody wants that job because people are delusional about a fifth-round quarterback.
Well, I think that's playing a big part into this. As much as you come in and say, hey, share your plan, when I'm a coach that's interviewing for that job now, I go, what's your plan? Well, we got Shador here. And? Like that's where, so I got to come in and make right. this right.
Well, maybe, and also they're gonna try to jam Deshaun Watson down your throat. They still paying that cat.
They still are
to not play.
I don't know what the deal is.
Remember, they never activated him down the stretch. They could have.
They could have, and they decided not to. I don't know what the deal is, Mike, but that looks very suspicious when these jobs are open, and it just screams too. Like as bad as you thought our situation was, it wasn't. Our coaches just didn't do the job that they needed to do. Everybody around the league's like, damn, Atlanta can be really good if 404-726-0929. That is the number. But yeah, that Mike McDonald thing is like, whoa, okay. And if he gets offered the job, my guess is he would take the Bills job. He's not going to go and be the OC for the Chargers if the Bills do want him. But we'll see how it goes, man. Lots of craziness going on around the NFL. I mentioned Fernando Mendoza, Mike, officially declares for the NFL draft. He is presumed to be the number one overall pick. I saw this guy, just a clip or two on late night. I didn't see it live. Man, he is, Mike, he's got this personality about him, Mike.
We said it, look, two things. There's nothing wrong with being a good, moral person who is faith-based and you live that life. But that's that soundbite I played for you in Guy Talk earlier this week where you had Ricky Williams up at the Heisman and he overhears Fernando Mendoza talking to Tim Tebow. He's like, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, kind of, you know, trying out the girl thing. paraphrase and basically dating, you know, and where to start with that. I mean, God bless him. You know, I mean, it's a bit refreshing, I guess, on some levels, but it will be funnier in hell than if he winds up in Las Vegas, to put that guy, I mean, literally in the middle of Sin City. But he is, like, he's unique. And much like, there's a little bit of, he's almost purer than Tim Tebow in a way, you know? Yeah. On a sliding scale, because like and Tebow, and again, there's nothing wrong. Like people that aren't religious or they don't like religion to cross into their sports experience. They don't want to hear guys, you know, give testimony, whatever. That's the world, and we talked about it. Faith-based programs, Carl, Christian Fellowship of Athletes. It's huge from high school on through college and the pros. So it's part of the fabric of football. But it is funny when you hear a guy that, look, I mean, yeah, am I a dirty old man at 57? I am. But it's just kind of funny to see a guy coming from a 180, right? Another point of view.
Yeah, look, and as far as this quarterback draft, we've got plenty of time to talk about it, but he is considered to be the number one guy. For all the crap that I said about Ty Simpson leaving Alabama and not staying in school, some people think he's going to be the second quarterback taken off the board. You got Garrett Nussmeier, you got Carson Beck, Mike. There's guys we've been talking about. But none of them really tickle my fancy like, oh, man, what a difference maker. But they're quarterbacks. Teams need them, and so they're going to take them. But I don't know, man. This particular draft is going to be interesting from that standpoint. But Mendoza, everybody kind of agrees. 6'5", 225, 230, depending on the given day. He's not fast, but you see his football acumen and how he reads the field. He's going number one.
And, again, he's a leader. I know that. It's one of those phrases that, you know, it's funny. If we get in this conversation, some guy's like, I don't care about that. It does matter.
It does.
Good teams have that. You know, you can have a team of a couple of leaders. In some cases, a guy sets the tone. This guy was, because it was kind of a cobbled-together squad. You had all these elements of guys from James Madison. More guys came in from the portal. Some holdovers from Indiana. But this dude was the heart and soul of that team, and you saw it. You saw it on TV.
Yeah, man. And his teammates love him. I mean, they absolutely love it. After he won the Heisman, I don't know if you guys saw this footage out there. You know, he wins the Heisman, and they go backstage, right? His teammates are there, like the entire offense. It's like 12 or 15 guys. Right. They're all hugging him and loving on him. And I'm like, when do you see that?
You know, and look, as we said, guys are getting, you know, I'm reading some of the comments as, you know, guys are jaded and snarky. It's like, remember, like, now there is a point where Jaden Daniels does have to cut off the umbilical cord from his mom, right?
Right, right.
Remember, like, Eli Apple when he went to the Giants? You know, and this guy's family and his mom, you know, dealing with MS. And, I mean, the whole story is like, it's a damn, like, Hallmark, you know, Lifetime movie. You know, what this kid has lived, tried to be a walk in my mind. We're not interested. Okay. You know, and then he goes and plays Cal. Miami, you know, the first year Cal plays in the ACC, they use him as a tackling dummy. Yeah. He didn't forget.
Yeah.
You know, and then he pinballs into the end zone. It's just an amazing story. That's not like, it's not my cup of tea, but I mean, I've learned through doing this for a while. Everybody's got their own journey. That's his, man.
No doubt. We'll see how that all shakes out. Mike, real quick, guy hit me up. He says, here's why, Dukes. Nobody's taking that Browns job. Let me elaborate.
I saw this.
Worst O-line in the NFL.
Okay.
Check. Your number one receiver leads the entire league in drops.
It's a fact.
You are located in Cleveland, Ohio.
That's not changing.
You are located in Cleveland, Ohio.
It's the land.
I repeat, you are located in Cleveland, Ohio.
It's just stuff that had to be said. It needed to be said, so let's say it.
And he goes on to say, hey, here's another reason. Your starting quarterback is Jadore Sanders, but your number two quarterback has an $81 million salary cap hit, and he's playing with one ACL. Of course, he's talking about Deshaun Watson. And then he says, you're located in Cleveland. Yeah. He's going on and on about Cleveland.
He also brings up a good point. You are forcing the new coach to retain Jim Schwartz and his staff on defense.
Okay, so if all of these, and look, he's being tongue-in-cheek here, but if some of this stuff is accurate, if it is, well, hell, I'm not taking the job either. Like, to the quarterback spot is one thing. But, Mike, if you are asked to take on certain people and retain staff, it's Jim Schwartz, what they're saying is what we said here. They're saying Schwartz is not the problem. The defense is not the problem. So why are we going to let him go? Same thing we said here about creating a problem with Jeff Ulbrich. Why am I letting him go? But I understand what you're saying about this Cleveland mess, and it feels that way. Mm. Because, guys, as bad as the Raiders are, they haven't had three candidates say, no, I'm good.
Right.
Like, that's the difference. And nobody's going to say that to the Steelers once they get offered, and nobody's going to say that to the Bills once they get offered. So, arguably, the worst three jobs, Cardinals, Browns, Raiders, however you want to rate it, those are going to be the last jobs filled. That's what I believe is going to happen.
Yeah, and the thing is, I think Kubiak's brand is, again, if they go all the way to the Super Bowl, which they very may well.
They could.
And again, You can always start to figure what the number would be if Seattle did play the Patriots or the Broncos. If they played Denver, it might be a 7 and 8 point spread. But that Seattle defense is great. So some guys, they're not giving Kubiak his due. I do think that the reason I was excited about him, he's got decent running backs. But if you came here with Bijan, it would have been wow, giddy up. Not to mention he would have been amenable to working with our defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich.